And now, Ben Bailey.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but to as carnal, as babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Welcome to our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. Today's lesson deals with the heart of the message to the church in Corinth, in which Paul shows them that their spiritual immaturity has led to a host of problems. How sad it is that sometimes Christians, even those who've been in the Lord's body for many years, are no longer acting like adults, but are acting like spiritual babies. Notice the text of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4. Look at Paul's encouragement to these Christians. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal?" Paul says the main problem here in Corinth is you're acting like babes, you're focusing on the carnal, the worldly, and not the spiritual, and you haven't grown up in Christ like you ought to. Again, the Hebrew writer reminded the Christians of how they had strayed from where they should have been by not growing. Hebrew writer said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. And yet you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. You've come to need milk when you ought to be on solid food, he said. Shame on us when we as Christians ought to be mature and know how to deal with problems. Instead, we revert back to acting like babies. Now, how is it that some Christians act like babies today? Here's how. Some Christians need milk by the time when they ought to be eating solid food. You know, a baby has to start out on milk. And the Bible says that we as newborn Christians ought to start out on milk. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes, we desire the pure milk of the Word, but we don't remain on the milk, that we may grow thereby. But some in the Lord's body act like babes in Christ because they always stay on that milk. They never move on to solid food. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6 verse 1, you need to go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of Christianity for you, but you need to go on to deeper things. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, Matthew 5 verse 6. If we're going to grow up in Christ, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. We need to get into the Scriptures daily. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and not studying the same old things we've always studied, but launching out into the deep, Matthew 4, verse 4, and breaking up our fallow ground, Hosea 5 and verse 12, so that we can reach more people who may not have a good understanding beyond the fundamentals of Christianity. Well, how else are some Christians like babies? Not only do they stay on the bottle, but some Christians act like babies because they whine and complain and cry when they don't get their way. Do you remember what Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15? Paul said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. The Christian is not to be a crybaby, not to murmur and whine and complain every time something doesn't go his way. We're to consider other people. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. We're not to put ourselves above everybody else, Romans 14, but we're sometimes even to look out for the weaker brother. The Israelites learned the lesson the hard way about whining and complaining. Do you remember after God took them out of that Egyptian bondage, walked them through the Red Sea on dry ground, delivered them from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, even defeated their enemies? When they're out, headed toward that Exodus event in Exodus chapter 14, the Mount Sinai event, when they're walking toward Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 15 and 16, weren't they really thankful? Oh, not at all. As you read the text in Exodus 16, they in essence say, what have you done, God? Have you brought us out here to this desert to make us starve to death? Oh, how we wish we were back by the flesh pots in Israel, where at least we had food to eat. What have you done, brought us out here to starve us? Look at their lack of faith, and it's that lack of faith that caused them to wander for 40 years and caused their bodies to die in the wilderness, not seeing the promised land. Friend, are we any different from those folks in the Old Testament when we whine and we complain and we act like crybabies when things don't go our way? How else are sometimes Christians like babies? You know, sometimes we just can't be satisfied. You know, a baby, when it gets in a temper tantrum or when it doesn't get its way, no matter what you give it, no matter what you say to it, no matter how you react to it, it just can't be satisfied. Sometimes Christians are like that. They can't be satisfied with God and the pure principles of Christianity. We always have to be looking for something new or something more entertaining or something more exciting. We need to take comfort in the fact that Christianity is all that we need. Christ is our all in all. Colossians chapter 1 and 2 teaches us that. But also, sometimes Christians act like babies in that they're asleep a lot of the time. You know, you can tell a baby, especially a newborn baby, because it spends more time sleeping than it does awake. I wonder if that applies to Christians today. Are we sometimes asleep at the wheel? Are we sometimes asleep there in a daze when we ought to be out working in the kingdom? Sometimes we're aloof to the opportunities that are there for us to grab hold of. God may set those in front of us, and if we're asleep at the wheel, we're no different than a baby. We need to realize now is the time to work. John 9 verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent us while it is day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 following, we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Those whose death is blessed in Revelation 14, verse 13, are those whose works and labors follow them. And so let's not be like babies and be asleep. And let's sure not be like children or babies and play favorites. You know, you can tell a child or a baby because they always seem to play favorite. They have a favorite they like to be around. How sad it is when some are saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas. Christians don't play favorites among men. We put Christ on the preeminent pedestal, Colossians 1 verse 18, and we do not allow others to receive glory that only God and Christ deserve. And so the main problem in Corinth, they were acting like babies, and how we today need to look to ourselves and ask, are we too at times guilty of being spiritual babies? Now, one of the problems they had, as we've alluded to, is that they were putting a lot of emphasis on the preachers, the workers, those who stood up and preached the gospel, those who went out and did personal work. And in reality, Paul's going to say, you don't need to put the preacher on a pedestal. He's simply a minister or a servant of the word, and you need to put the emphasis on God who gives the increase. And Paul says the preacher's just a minister, a servant, in verse 5. Gospel preachers are no different than any other Christian. They've just been given the privilege to speak the word. Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus, the greatest gospel preacher you could ever imagine, said this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for all. Luke 19:10, the Bible teaches that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Friend, the gospel preacher is just privileged to preach the word, to spread the message, but he's not on a higher level. There is no clergy laity system, big me and little you. As one gospel preacher said, we all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. Well, where does the emphasis need to be then? If you notice 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, the emphasis needs to be upon God who gives the increase. Paul's going to say, I may have watered or Apollos may have watered, but it's God who gives the increase. Sure, Paul went into the region of Corinth in Acts chapter 18. He preached the gospel. He was even instrumental in teaching Apollos some principles he didn't understand. Acts 18, verses 24 through 27. But Paul couldn't take credit. Apollos couldn't take credit. Why not? They preached the gospel, didn't they? My friends, they did nothing to give the increase. The seed is the Word of God, Luke 8, verse 11, and it is that seed set in the hearts and lives of men and women that gives the increase, and God is the source of that. I want you to notice Acts chapter 2. Here's what's distinct about New Testament Christianity. Notice the words of Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Peter has just preached the gospel to them. He has convicted them of sin. They're cut to the heart. They cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer is you need to repent and be baptized. Those who received His word were baptized, verse 41. And notice what happened to those same people in verse 47. The Scripture says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. Paul didn't add them to the church. Apollos didn't add them to the church, and men and women today cannot, even if they wanted to, add people to the church. Why? God deserves the glory. He's the one who gives the increase. No matter how great a sermon may be, no matter how much oratory skill a person may have, they don't deserve the honor or glory. It's God who gives the increase. Jesus is the one who tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, for the whole world. When we preach the gospel, what have we really done? Nothing. We've just preached that which has already happened, which is accomplished in the first century by Jesus, the Son of God. Is there power in preaching? Yes. As long as 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21 is applied. We preach the cross of Christ and Him crucified. But you know what's interesting about 1 Corinthians 3? Not only should gospel preachers not be elevated to a state they don't deserve, but all Christians are considered by God as fellow workers in the kingdom. Notice the text of 1 Corinthians 3 and look at what the Bible says in verse 9. Paul says, "For we..." Who? All Christians. We are God's fellow workers. You're God's field. You are God's building. Every Christian has a responsibility. The idea of a Christian who does nothing is foreign to the New Testament. Christianity, by its very nature, when I obey the gospel, I give my body to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, and I commit to daily walk after the Savior's pattern. That being true, all Christians are fellow workers with God, with Christ in the kingdom. Remember again John 9 verse 4, the blind man said, "We've got to work the works of Him who sent us while it's day." That time, that day is now. And oh, how we need to be busy. In Matthew chapter 20, the church is likened to a vineyard. And here's what's interesting about that. A vineyard is a place of work where fruit is produced. If the church is a vineyard and the church is made up of the saved, then those saved people need to be out working and producing fruit to God to give Him the glory and the honor. And so while gospel preachers may be layers of the foundation, preachers of the Word, the foundation of the church, my friends, is none other than Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul said this, "No other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid," and the idea is already laid, "which is Jesus Christ." Oh yes, we may preach the Word and we may lay the foundation out for people to see, but we didn't build the church. It's not our church. The foundation of the church is Jesus Himself. He is the chief cornerstone. In Acts chapter 4, the Jews are questioning John there and questioning those who are working with him. And they ask Peter and John, "By what authority, by what power have you done these things?" And they respond by saying, "It's in the name of Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone whom you've left out in essence of your spiritual superstructure. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is the foundation, the pillar, the stone. Isaiah 28 verse 16 that the church is built upon. Remember John 14, verse 6. Here's the essence of why it's essential that Christ be at the center. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me."